Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
What's going on, y'all? Strikeout Bros, episode 18, season 2. What's good, Lash? How you feeling?
I'm good, man. Today was a frustrating day for both of our teams, but we'll get to it there. Tomorrow's a big day. Tomorrow's a trade deadline. We already know who the sellers are, and we already know who the buyers are. And then there's teams that we think should be selling but are buying. And then there's teams that we think should be buyers that are sellers. So it's interesting. So it'll be interesting.
I mean, I have a problem. I mean, everything is like, everybody's making moves. Teams that aren't going anywhere are making moves. It's just what happens at the end of the, you know, in this part of the season. And you never know what's going to happen. I mean, listen, the Mets just stacked up on some relievers, but what happened to the bats today? We got 3 hits against the San Diego Padres. We got swept. What the? That's okay.
It's interesting. But the problem with the Mets, and it's always been their biggest problem, is they have a very hard time with scoring and runners in scoring position. And that's going to kill you. I don't care how good your pitching is. I don't care who you have. And it's the one trend I noticed with the Mets, and it's got to be frustrating because How many? It's, you ever heard that saying? How many chances are you gonna get? And this is literally what the Mets. Every time you get on base, every time you get players on base, runners on base, it's basically saying you gain at least 3 chances. Every player that gets on base, that's a chance you gain. How many chances? And you don't score on any of those chances. It's very frustrating because, to be honest with you, I don't think San Diego is all that great. The pitching staff is. The bullpen is good. They have a really good bullpen, but I thought the Mets would win the series because I thought they could attack their pitching staff. The pitching staff is not that great. Cease has been terrible. Darvish has been in and out of injuries. I can't even tell you who their ace is, but that's the biggest problem with the Mets. That has nothing to do with pitching. Pitching is what's carried them so far. Pitching and Alonso.
Alonso. Well, Alonso's been 4-41 since the All-Star break.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean,
Lindor went through his first, you know, he went through a serious streak like, you know, over 32, whatever. I mean, the team is not hitting, okay? Forget this team. This team can't win anything. If you can't hit, you can't win. I don't care what the pitching looks like. I don't care how the bullpen looks. You know what I'm saying? But you're going to keep us in the game, but we're not going to score. We can't hit the ball. So I don't believe this team can win a championship like this. You can't go, you know, have a great week where you double sweep, you know, and then you end up getting swept yourself. Doesn't make any sense. But today, I want to, you know, salute one of the greats that just passed away. And his name was Ryan Sandberg. And I want to say I remember this guy as a kid, you know, because he was one of the greats. So I'm not going to say, you know, I remember him. It's funny, as a kid, you remember? Yeah, you were too young. You were definitely too young, but I remember him.
My prime years of remembering players is from the late 90s and early 2000s. That's like my prime baseball window.
Yeah. Well, just like, I guess, you know, late 80s and then going into, you know, the 90s, of course. That's not, I really loved baseball back then like that, you know, as a kid. So, but Ryan Sandberg was an amazing player, you know, 65, died, you know, prostate cancer.
Mm.
It's crazy.
Didn't he also play for the Twins too?
No, he played for Chicago for the majority of his life. And then he played for the Phillies in his last year.
Oh, okay. 93. Yeah, 65 is young, man. That's my parents' age, you know, so it's a little sad.
It's sad, right?
And, you know, for all the men out there that, you know, they, you know, it's important to get that checked out. You know, that's, it's one problem that we have to worry about as men. You know, women have their own problems too. But that's the, you know, I'm 38, but, you know, my buzz keep telling me, hey, pretty soon you gotta go get that prostate check. I don't want to do it, but it's got to be done because, you know, there was what, Trey Mancini a couple of years ago on the Orioles, he had prostate cancer and he was what, in his late, early 30s. So it can happen to anyone, but it's a, from a baseball standpoint, it was a well-lived career. He had an amazing career. He was really good. He was part of the Cubs teams. Did they win a World Series with him?
Definitely.
Or was it
not
with the Phillies he won?
No, he didn't win one with them. But yeah.
But then consecutive All-Star game, that's pretty 15, impressive.
Yeah. 9 consecutive Gold Gloves, 7 Silver Sluggers, National League MVP in 84. I'm telling you, this guy was great. I remember him. I remember him.
Wow. You was know? He more like a he was a
how would I, let me see, describe him? You can't describe players from back then now because, you know, everything's very different, you know? But he was the guy that, you know, was going to get the hit for you.
Derek Jeter type, you know?
Yep, yeah.
He was reliable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's like with the, you know, it's like the Yankees in the 90s and the early 2000s. When Mariano came in, you know you're going to win the game.
Exactly. Now, that type of situation.
That's how I can compare it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, compare
Billy
to that.
Wagner when he was with the Mets and the Phillies, you know.
Yeah, we can do that.
Coming in, he was going to, you know, lock it down. But he's just a really reliable player for the Cubs, and he helped them win a lot of games.
Yeah, he got them 2,386 hits because, you know, he only got one for the Phillies. So that was a
short
lived
career with the Phillies.
Yeah. It was short, I guess. That wasn't
a career, I guess.
No. I think what happened was is that the Phillies ended up sending him back to Chicago so he could retire, I guess. I'm not sure how it worked out, something like that.
That makes sense. Maybe it was one of those things where, you know, when players are near the end of their playing careers, they just try to latch on to one team, see what happens, and then realize, all right, you know what? This is not going to work. See, you know, my career is over. Let's just make this last year in Philadelphia good and, you know, call it a day. So, but either way, he's more remembered as a Cub than a Philly, and rightfully so. You know, that's pretty amazing. How many players, you know, make 10 consecutive All-Star games? You know, that's, I don't know.
No, I mean, that's when it was done right. You know, like I said, he was a you know, staple for Chicago, the Cubs, you know. He was there for his whole career. He definitely made an impact for that team.
You know what's crazy? Speaking of All-Stars, so back in those days, probably, I don't know if you remember this, but, like, you know, we didn't have computers. So they would mail out these ballots, All-Star ballots, right? And you pay like 79 cents, I think it was 75 cents. Anyway, you fill out the ballot and you mail it in. And I don't know if you could get like endless amounts of ballots or it was just like a one-time ballot type of thing. It was probably a one-time ballot, but you would get it. But the reason why I liked about it because it's truly authentic because, like, it's not like today where I can just vote 1,000 times for Lindor to get in, you know. So whatever percentage was that voted for, you know,
Sandberg,
you know, those fans were mostly from, you know, those mailing addresses all probably came from, you know, Chicago, you know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Minnesota, but I'm just saying it's kind of cool because like those are actually legit. It's not just like
Of course.
Like, they actually earned it. It's not like today where, like, come on, like, why, like, in my opinion, Acuña should have not been in an All-Star game just because he didn't play enough and he only got it because he was in Atlanta. It was in Atlanta. That's, you know what I mean? That wouldn't have happened back then. You, who cares if you were the hometown kid? You're not going to get in if you didn't produce, you know?
Yeah, things are different now, Lash. As you can see, weird baseball. Baseball is so weird, man. I love this team. And then now I hate the team. I hate the team. I really don't like the way they're putting this together. And this is why we're losing, you know. It's too bad nobody listens to our podcast, because if they did, they would know what exactly what to do.
Trucker Joe does.
I know Trucker Joe does. You know what I'm saying? But it's okay, though. Trucker Joe likes us, you know? But he knows what I mean, though. He knows what I mean. Like what the hell is going on here? Like, I don't want to get super pissed off because, you know, July came and went. We rest tomorrow. We come back home. We play San Francisco again. We swept them the first time. So we go on this road trip, right, to San Francisco and then San Diego. And then having to come back home and play San Francisco again, right? So it's a tight 9 games, you know? And we go out there and we sweep San Francisco. And I'm like, wow, right? We're looking good. Because right prior to that, you know, we swept the Angels. And, you know, so, like, I thought we were going somewhere. And then here come the Padres. The first game, you know, whatever. I couldn't see it. It starts late. You know, I had to do things in the morning.
So I did watch it.
We watched that, right? And I saw the highlights. But go ahead. I want you to tell me what you saw from your perspective, because I love it when you talk about the Mets, because you're a Mets fan. This is the funny shit about you. You're a Mets fan as well. You're a closet Mets fan, and you study them very hard. You know?
I study them just because this is what we do with the podcast.
No. But anyway, study them very, very hard. You've always have. Now, before the
Mets podcast, had the lead. The Mets had a lead. They were doing good. And then Brazoban came in, and that's the only guy to blame. The offense did as best as it could, but Brazoban just threw up in the eighth inning, and it was to a point where they're like, well, we might as well just leave him in there because we have 3 more games left. We don't want to blow through our bullpen. So that's what they end up losing.
No, but I don't like the way you told that story. That's not, like, listen, I saw the highlights and I can tell a better story than that. See, because now that was like, let me, because after I said, oh, you're a closet Mets fan, all of a sudden you were like, yeah, I watched it, you know, but you're giving me the details, but you're not giving it to me like a true Mets fan, you know, it's not. Yes, you are, you're pretending not to be, that's what it is. You're pretending not to be. And I think you're a closet Mets fan. Ever since I've known you, you like the Mets. You like the Mets. You like to watch the Mets. But check this out. I don't know what happens, man. Listen, all I know is that Vientos, I think, hit a grand slam in that game because, you know, he probably heard he was trade bait. And he's like, let me show these guys what I can do. All right, if you can do that, let's do this, all right? Because, listen, I don't blame him for not being able to hit right now. Okay? He's not playing, so you can't hit. But exactly. You can't hit on the only thing you can do is hit on the fucking guys over there. You know what I'm saying? If you like it like that. But that's up to you. That's your problem. I don't know, whatever you want. But listen, this is the problem. All right. So Mauricio came in the top of the ninth, and he gets the home run solo shot to tie it.
Tie game, yeah.
Okay, this is what happens. And then in the bottom, I don't know what happened. They started a little baby clinic or some shit, and they ended up getting the walk-off hit. Right? Then the next day, I don't even want to know like what happened, because I saw it. I couldn't watch that game. 7-1, and no Mets fan is watching that, man. It comes on late, and on top of that, you're getting smoked like that.
Well, I watched a little bit of it. Machado hit a 3-run home run, and then it just became downhill. And then I didn't watch any of today's game, so I don't know what happened. I know today's game was closer, at least it was a lower scoring game, but so I don't know what happened today. I was watching the Orioles, but did you see any of today's game?
No, man. I you know what I did? I was tired, man. I played the 36 today, and I woke up at like 5:30 in the morning, and I played 36 holes. So, and it got really hot out there. Like, I'm talking about 100 degrees out there on the golf course. So it was pretty bad. In the morning, it was nice. It was like 80s. And I played my best game this morning. My best game. I scored a 64 on that course. So, you know, I'm getting better. It's only been 2 seasons. You know what I'm saying? So this is my second season. But I'm getting better. And I like going about myself. You know, you concentrate. My putting has been gotten ridiculous. But anyway, let's not talk about that right now. This is the reason why I didn't watch, because I was tired. So I took a nap before doing this. But we got smoked, bro. 5-0. We got 3 hits. I think Mauricio got a hit. Nemo got a hit. And I can't remember who the third was. Vientos, probably. Vientos. But we're not looking good. I can tell that we're going to get smoked out there. The hitting situation is so ridiculous. But in July, out of the 24 games we played, we went 14-10. You know, so that's a winning record. That's 4 above .500 for the month. Can take that, you know. I don't know what you think about that.
Hey, it's, you know, yeah, you want to close out the month strong. Yeah, don't get me wrong. And also, you want to close out the road trip strong, because now you come home back to City Field, and you play San Fran again, I believe, right? Or is there
a
team in between?
No, yeah, San Fran.
So you play San Fran, and you guys definitely have San Francisco's number, in my opinion. At least in San Francisco, you did.
Chapman, see what happens and this time.
Jung Ho Lee, you kind of made him absent, non-existent in this series in San Francisco, so that was good. But so who do you have? San Francisco, and who else at home? It's a nine-game homestand.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I have to double check that, because I'm so pissed off right now. I don't want to look past that. You know, I looked at the 9 games and I want to see how we pull that off, as in that West Coast magic over there. It's crazy, yo. Listen, what I was about to say when you were speaking, I didn't want to cut you off, and I'm like, you said Machado, you spoke, right? Machado, 14 years in, and all of a sudden he's a stud again, you know? It's like Baez. You know what I'm saying? But the funny shit is that the reason why I think these things happen is because there's something to play for now, you know? They've been around for, they can always switch it on whenever they want. The thing is that, you know, they're like, this team isn't going to make it. I'm just going to play, you know, and try to get home as soon as possible. And now they both see that they're on teams that actually have a shot at this, you know? So they want to, they play hard. That's how I see it. I don't know. It's so weird. But
yeah, so I was looking at your schedule. So you play San Francisco for 3, and then you play Cleveland. Cleveland's a seller. Yeah, they're just at .500. So you should be able to beat them up.
And then Milwaukee.
You go 4-2, and then you go to Milwaukee. Was it Milwaukee? And then who do you have?
Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta. You're back to Atlanta. No, it's back home for Atlanta. So you go back home. One trip, 3 games, and then you go to. It's interesting. I don't know who makes these schedules, man. That's a dumb trip. Go away for 3, go all the way halfway Midwest, and then, well, not really Midwest, but I guess it is Midwest. I don't know where freaking Wisconsin is, but either way, it's stupid. Just for 3, and then you can come back to Atlanta, or come back to New York, I mean. I don't know. But either way, you have a very good chance to go 5-1 in this homestand, or 4-2. Should go with, finish with a winning record on at home. If you can finish with a winning record at home, then that's a good sign, and it kind of propels you. And if you, and it's more important for the Mets, because right now they're currently the division lead by a half a game, you know. So I think Philadelphia playing right now.
Well, Philadelphia lost, I think, to the White Sox or something like that. That's what I was looking at.
They lost like 9-0. So okay, yeah. So anyway, what I'm saying is you still had the lead, and the reason why that's important is because if you're good at home and you finish and you win your division, you're gonna have home field advantage. And that's going to be a big plus for the Mets. That's a tough place to play. The fans are really into it at Citi Field. It's really loud. And so you have an advantage right there. So you got to win these games at home. And you got to beat these crap bad teams. Cleveland is not a good team. That's another team.
Oh, man, we can't do it, man. I don't know. We can't. bad teams are our kryptonite. It's crazy.
I know,
man.
It's crazy. You play well against good
yeah.
teams.
Yeah.
You'll beat the crap out of the Cubs or the Brewers.
Phillies.
Yeah.
Braves
and shit the bed.
They shit the bed. It's so insane to me. Man, but this, not this time. This time we got beat by the better team. That's all. Yo, Alonso. Oh, Soto went out. I saw that. Soto went out. Right? So Soto
got hurt.
Yeah, to the ball. He hit the ball. The ball went off of his foot or some shit like that. So they're claiming it's not broken, but he wasn't in the lineup today. So that happened last night, you know? So we'll see what happens with that, too. So now we don't have Soto, even though he's not, you know, whatever. He was hitting. But this team is wild, man. This team is a crazy, like, I don't know what the hell happened. It's so, so weird. You're not making it anywhere. Might as well just pack up the bags now, man. Let's see. He better get a bag. I mean, this is not Stern's fault. He bulked up the... You know what the problem is? Like, so he bulks up
The bullpen,
right? But rentals. So he's giving away a whole lot of, you know, for rentals. I guess he likes them, and I guess he's planning on signing them for the future. And maybe that was the... You know, maybe they had talks, you know? I don't know.
Is that Trevor Tyler Rogers guy a starter or a bullpen help?
Which one? The last one? I don't. We got one from you guys, right?
Yeah, Soto.
Soto.
But
and then we got Tyler Rogers. Yeah,
San Francisco.
He's a
starter, right?
No, he's not a starter.
Bullpen help. Okay. Well, it just tells you that the Mets know something that we don't know, and they basically what that tells me is they have enough confidence in the starting pitching, but they have zero confidence in the bullpen minus Diaz. He's the only one that's been reliable.
No, but it's going to be this way. I don't know how they're going to do it, man. Listen, if they're going to go on this run with these guys in the back end, first of all, we're not hitting, so who cares, right? But if this works, if we start hitting and the back end can hold up, you know, he's old. This guy's old. They're all rentals. I guess, you know, he saw the pieces and he feels comfortable with them. I don't know.
I'm surprised they gave up Drew Gilbert because that's one of your top tier prospects.
I know.
I could deal with Jose Budo going because I like Budo. He was all right, but he was inconsistent.
Yeah, he was.
You know, so he was in the staples. That's why they got rid of him. But to give up Gilbert, I don't know why you just couldn't do one-on-one trade. Like, hey, Gilbert, Budo for Rodgers, you know, Rodgers is not all that great. But maybe there's something I know. Maybe it was one of those things where, like, we're not going to give you this guy unless you give us Gilbert, you know?
Yeah. And so they know
tomorrow's
something.
Tomorrow's going to be a big day.
I know. Tomorrow, everything happens. Yeah. Everything finally happens.
Tomorrow's
6 o'clock.
Be a sad day.
Eastern.
Because, you know, look at the Phillies. And the Phillies just got better. They just got one of the best closers. They have closer issues. They got Johan Duran from the Twins. Yeah. Talk about it. Another team that's been a disappointment. My goodness. Remember when they were on a 13-game winning streak and they swept the Orioles? Oh, my gosh. They were, like, on fire. I'm like, this team is so good.
Yeah.
Ever since, I don't know what happened, man. One-hit wonder. And ever since, it's been trash. So, I'm guessing the Mets are comfortable enough. Because the other thing is, look, we got Manaea back. You got who else came back? Montas is back.
Listen, I don't like the rotation anymore.
He's cold because he just came back, so you gotta give it time. So I don't know how much time you want to wait. So, but it's okay because let him figure out his problems now. You know, there's a good chance you'll make the playoffs. The question is, will be you get the first division winner or a wild card? But either way, you're gonna make the playoffs. So if that's the case, then you can see if Montas can work through his issues, if he does. And then Senga's back, right?
Yeah, he's back.
So Senga's back. Montas, Montas, Senga, and
Manaea.
So that's your top three. And then I guess you're going to have to fill in the other. I was thinking they were going to get another starter.
Nah,
maybe they think this Tyler guys can be a long relief pitcher type of thing.
Nah, they're gonna have to get another starter. They're gonna have to because I can't see us winning anything like that. That's
Manning
another.
Is gone. What's the other guy?
Everybody's gone, bro.
Yeah.
Everybody's gone. Yeah. This is how that works. Peterson is our only savior. McGill's gone. You know?
Peterson has been great. Holmes has been okay, but Holmes is not bad.
Yeah, not today. Today he only puts three innings.
Yeah, so 3.2. So we got Holmes, Montas, Manaea, Senga. So that's four. So you basically need a fifth starter, you know.
So we need a lights out. We need a lights out with experience. Hopefully we can get something like that. If you can, cool.
Yeah, but to get something like that, you're going to have to give a lot of money because the demand is high.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's going to be off the chain. That's why I can't wait for midnight or whatever. Whenever
No. 6 cool. o'clock p.m. in the afternoon.
It ends at 6 o'clock? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So tomorrow's going to be a sad day from Baltimore standpoint. Mullins has been on fire lately. He's been robbing home runs. And it's sad to see a great player go. It kind of reminds me of like when Wilmer Flores left for the Mets. He was having a great time, doing great, killing it out there. And then they traded him. And it's just sad. But Mullins is getting old in baseball terms. They got a young guy in the minors that they can probably, a couple of center fielders, people they can call up. So, or they'll just put in other guys, you know. I think the Orioles are doing the right thing. Yes, they've been playing well. They had a 5-game winning streak. Granted, it was Colorado. But to take 3 out of 4 from Toronto, it's a pretty good deal. So I'm kind of surprised by how that was. But Orioles always play well at home. They just struggle on the road. Their offense has been slow, but slowly they've been waking up. So if this is a team that, hey, if they can get, you know, play well the rest of the year and get back to 500 and finish with a 500 record, maybe knock some other people out of the wild card, I'll feel good. I said, okay, now I know what the problem is. It's just starting pitching, and the offense was really, really slow. That was the biggest problem with the Orioles. Their offense was just so slow out the gate, man. And it's just, you can't go 2 months, 2.5 months without your offense doing anything. That's what
happened. Yeah, I know. And then you get buried.
You know, and that's what's happening with the, you know, going back to the Mets. Is right now they're looking a little bit of a slump, and you can't have that because the division is so tight and the pressure is on you now. You know what I mean?
So now the seesaw effect is crazy.
You're going to get a center fielder for sure. So the question is, it's either going to be Mullins, the guy from Boston, what's his name, Duran?
Duran. He's not going to. Or Luis.
Or Mullins. Or Roberts. Luis. Now our friend Craig. NBC, he sent us a thing saying that they're on the verge of signing Luis Roberts. I'd rather take Mullins. I'm a little biased, but Roberts would be, he's a way upgrade, better upgrade than Tyrone Taylor.
Yeah, but they might want Vientos for that.
That's fine. No. Reason why I think that's a good deal. Okay, for example, right? You get Vientos. He doesn't have a place to bat, so what's the point of keeping him? If he doesn't have a place to play.
But if you get rid of the problem, the problem is Beatty. You get rid of Beatty, then he has a place
to play.
Nobody
wants him. They know that. You're not going to get anything for Beatty. That's the problem. Who's going to want Beatty? Nobody. They know that.
He's hitting.
If you get Vientos, he's more of a traction. You have a better chance of getting Mullins or Roberts. And then gets the nice thing about Beatty. He can leave his ass on the bench. He can come in when they need to. You put Mauricio at third base. And he was doing just fine there before he got hurt. They need to stop rotating. This is the problem with the Mets. They don't know how to just stick
develop
with one guy.
Place. Yeah.
No,
develop,
no, it's not that. Just stick with one guy.
You that's the problem.
Guys, listen, just leave Vientos in or whatever. If you think Vientos can do it, put him in there. If you don't think so, then put Mauricio. Right now, Mauricio has been more productive offensively. So stay with the hand. This is another thing. Don't give the guy a break. He's doing pretty well at defense. I saw the game the other day. He had a really good play.
But you know what? You know what the funny shit is? That's not even the funny shit. This is the funny shit. The funny shit is, you know what it feels like when I'm watching it? It's like they're doing tryouts and shit during the middle of a fucking game. That's what it is. It's like tryouts, you know? It's like, yo, what are you doing? You want to win a championship or are we watching tryouts, you know? Because, you know, yo, Lasha, go ahead, cover third today. Let's see how you play third today. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? A couple of days later, Lasha, why don't you do me a favor, cover second for me, okay? Today you're playing second. Lasha, do me a favor. I don't want you to grab a glove today. Just DH today, okay? Like, you're just like, you know, filling holes and shit, like, as if there were holes. There are no holes to fill. Like, just keep the player where they belong. You know what I'm saying? This way they can, you know, especially the young guys. That's the problem. You're 1,000% right. Yeah, you're messing with it.
Mauricio, because Mauricio and both Mauricio and Vientos were hurt, but Mauricio missed a whole season. He just got back. Vientos has only been hurt what, 2 weeks maybe? Am
I wrong? Yeah, he's back already. He was hurt for a little while.
I'm just saying, you have Mauricio. He was doing really good. He was playing really well in the Winter League. He just got hurt. You know, things happen. But the point is Mauricio is your third baseman. I don't know why they keep playing with Beatty. I don't know what the obsession with Beatty is. It drives me crazy.
No, but that base thing that now you say put Mauricio. I don't want Mauricio there either. Mauricio, because Vientos, that's his position. You know what I'm saying? He earned that position.
Okay, so if that's the case, then just play him and let him work through his struggles.
At second base, I want a corner there.
Yeah, yes.
And then we don't have a DH to
Lindor.
No, shortstop Lindor. First base, Peter, right? Left field, Nemo.
Center field,
whoever, exactly. And then Soto, right? And then Alvarez behind the plate. Alvarez. Terrence, perfect, right? The thing, and then so now you have Mauricio in there and you have Acuna. So Acuna can go DH, right?
So and DH.
Yeah, exactly. Between Mauricio and Acuna. And that's it. And this way, they still get their at-bats, right? No matter what. And they take a break from the field.
This time. Yeah, exactly. They might get a day off.
No, they're not going to get a day off. We're only going to use the people on the bench for situational stuff. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to use them for like, we want a team that can vibe and get it and make it, you know, happen for a championship run. Let's platoon everything here.
And here's the other problem, right? And this is the other problem, too. When you have players playing the same position every day, you build consistency amongst the players. Because now Alonso knows how that ball is coming to him from Vientos. He knows how the ball is going to come from him when Mario's losing in my name. Mauricio throws in the ball. You know what I mean? So they know consistency. They know, I know Mauricio likes to throw the ball more towards my left side of the
exactly.
Play. Or Vientos likes it to the right side of the bag, so that way my hand is touching the potential runner coming down the line. You know what I mean? So you know that, you know, and you know, like, all right, maybe I'm just making an example. I know that maybe Vientos has sometimes a tendency to bounce a ball sometimes. So if you know that, he knows how to pick the ball at first when it comes. So you build a consistency. You know how to figure out the other person. But like, all right, well. I'm used to this guy throwing bouncers to me, but and then Mauricio comes in and he throws a fireball right down my chest. You know what I mean? It's just like, so now I got to catch it high. You know what I mean? And stretch my arm out like this. So
yeah, it's a lot. You're right.
Because here's my thing, right? If you have Lindor every day at shortstop, but you never take him out. Why? Because he's good at it? Yes.
Yeah.
Two, he's your star. But you know what? You know how he got there to be that good and he got to be a star? Because Cleveland let him play it all the time. That's
repetition.
They didn't just keep putting him out there, even you know, let's try third, let's try this. No, put him there. And you got same thing with Baez, same thing with Machado. Well, Machado just moved to third a while back. But you know what I mean? So on. And that's what you gotta do. You gotta leave these guys in there, let them be consistent. Me personally, I put Vientos in there, and if you want to rotate every once in a while, you could put Mauricio at third. When he's not at third, let him DH or rotate DH between the two of them, and then you have consistency. You know, and then for goodness sake, I don't know why you can't just eat Beatty's contract and just let him go. Like, I'm convinced he's like the owner's favorite son because they're obsessed with him. He always now. Granted, he played well in San Francisco.
Yeah, he's hitting.
Series them.
He's hitting.
But I, that's not good enough for me. He's inconsistent. I don't like him. He's not all that great fielding. His bat is not that great. They should do to Beatty what they did to Alvarez. Send him back to the minors, let him figure it out, and then bring him back up if you need him.
The thing is that he's hitting right now. That's the thing, Lasho.
He's hitting. So
he's hitting.
Don't get me wrong. If he's hitting, keep him while it's hot. That's the problem with baseball. As soon as the guy gets hot, they pull the plug. It drives me crazy. Keep him in there until he stops. You know when you take him out? When he has an 0-for-4 game in a crucial game. Okay, all right. Oh, okay. Because you know what? Players will tell you. Well, they won't tell you. No player's going to tell you. I'm tired. They'll show you they're tired. That's when you need to say, oh, okay, cool. All right, Mauricio, you're going to play tomorrow because, you know, Beatty's tired. Okay, cool. Hey, you know what, Mauricio? Never mind. Vientos, you're going to go in there now. But my thing is this. This is the problem with the Mets do, right? They'll start one guy, and then halfway through the game, they'll put Vientos in. I was like, why? Just leave the guy in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Unless they do that, you know.
Bat,
yeah.
Vientos can start get a spark. Okay, fine. Yeah. But if not, Mauricio has been great. I like Mauricio. I'm just, you know, I'm a little biased. But Beatty, I don't find any good redeeming qualities about him. Other than, yeah, he's had a little nice streak lately. Other than that, you need to be consistent. Rotate third base. You know what I would do? Here's how I would do it. Every 5 days, you rotate that third base. That way, each player gets 5 games a day. They get a break, and then the next 5. You know what I mean? That way, there's consistency. You know what I mean? Everyone gets a bat. He gets a bat. He gets a bat. No one's going to dry up sitting on the bench. That's the problem with Vientos. I think he's starting to dry up on the bench.
And he's not being
utilized.
I mean, you got hurt, and he's not being utilized. So, of course, he's going to have a drought.
But getting hurt. So, yeah. So, when you get hurt, all right, for example, like if you break your leg, in order to re-strengthen your leg, you got to walk again. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can't just sit at home and, you know, watch TV.
Exactly.
You're just going to get worse.
Exactly.
You gotta let him work through his injury. No, he's not hurt, but you got to let him build it. Because the thing with players is, confidence is so, especially in baseball, confidence is key. And where do you build that confidence? It's by consistency.
Exactly.
Consistency builds confidence. And if you don't give this guy consistency, you're taking away his confidence. And it's going to show. And then what happens with Vientos, he shows his frustration. He wears his feelings on his sleeve sometimes. And it's frustrating. And then it's like, oh. And then it's just like, so for Mendoza's like, come on, dude. Throw the analytics out the window. Leave the guy in there. Let him work through his problems. And then figure it out.
I agree.
But that's problem 1Z, in my opinion. Problem 1A is, why do they struggle with getting runners in scoring position? They can't hit. I just don't get it. It's the biggest problem. Like, what are they doing wrong? Is it like
pressure? I don't know.
Is it the need to always got to hit a home run? And it's like you get googly eyes, like, woo! And then it's like you wilt on the pressure, or you know how to, I don't know what it is. It's just, it drives me crazy. You know?
It drives you crazy as a fan, right? I don't understand.
And I'm not, like I said, it drives me crazy. And the Baltimore does it too. You know, Baltimore, in today's game, they had like bases loaded and they only scored like 2 runs. I was like, man, you should have blown this game open. They lost the game, but still. Like I said, every time you get a man on, every time you get on base, it's a chance. How many chances are you going to get? There's only so many chances in the game you're going to get. And if a team is going to give it to you, you got to strike when it's hot. And reason why? Because in the postseason, your chances get less. So when those chances do come in the postseason, you got to learn how to be good at, take advantage of. And if you don't know how to do that, if you're struggling now, what do you think is going to happen on October 15th? October 15th, because there'll be playoffs by then. When it's the bottom of the ninth and his man on, second and third are 2 outs, you know, and you're down by 1.
You're down by 1.
Up, what happens? He chokes? We can't have that. Or Soto chokes? You can't have that. Oh, my gosh. You know what happens if Soto chokes in that type of situation in the postseason? The Mets will rip him a new ass. They think the Yankee fans are bad. The Mets fans are just as worse. Because they're just as passionate as Yankee fans. That's one thing I like about New Yorkers. They're very passionate. They hold their players accountable. And they let you know how you feel. There's no sugarcoating. It's just the way it is. Just even at work. You know, when I worked on the truck, your partner, they tell you like how it is. Hey, Lash, I don't like the way you're doing your job. Hey, you know, you're slow. Come on, get to it. You know what I mean? But it's good. It might be harsh, but I like it because it motivates me. Okay, I got to be a little quicker on scene. You know, just give an example. You know what I mean? Same thing with the Mets. Okay, I got to do better. The fans are clamoring for me to, you know, if you're Vientos, the fans are clamoring, I got to produce, man. And if you're not given the opportunity, then how are you going to get better? And that's the problem. I think the problem is they don't know what to do with Beatty. They have 3 guys they're trying to juggle. Instead of juggling people, just stick to one guy and say, this is my guy until the shoe falls off. Okay, the shoe has fallen off of Vientos. All right, Mauricio, it's your turn. We'll play you until your shoe falls off. Okay, all right, his shoe came off. Okay, Beatty, now you come in and play. You know, You got to, you know, you can't just have a revolving door is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah. And
you don't have a revolving door at the catching position, do you? Not anymore.
You can't carry four catches. That's why, you know.
But still, what I'm saying is, I don't know. If you don't have revolving, okay, right field, center field, first base, shortstop, there's no revolving door. So if that's the case, then why do you need a revolving door at the other positions? Just stick to one guy. Now, granted, Alonso's way better than Vientos. Lindor is way better than Vientos. I get it. Blah, 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 blah. And they have
but they go through streaks. Like I just told you, you know, Alonso was 4-4-40 or something. You know what I'm saying? Something horrible.
Something streak too, you know?
Yeah, he went on a horrible streak too. So, but you kept him in there every day, right? It's the difference, you know? That's why, okay, so.
Money, let's be honest. Because
of course, obviously.
A lot of money.
You don't want to have him on the bench.
You said a $320 million player on the bench, they're going to look at you like you're a retard. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, exactly. Exactly.
That's the only reason why, which is stupid.
That's the only reason why.
So, do you, all right, so if that's the case, would you be one of the four teams? Would you try to make a pitch for Suarez? Because the Yankees aren't going to get him. They got a McMahon, whatever his name is, from Colorado. So, you know, if that's the case, I'll go for Suarez. Now, the only problem with Suarez, I like Suarez because he has a really good defense, but he strikes out a lot. That's his only weakness. But when
he's
he hits, but the problem with, you know what I mean? And for the Mets, for me, defense is more important than offense.
I think we need both.
A hot corner guy is really good because if you have two good guys on the corner, it's going to be hard for balls to get through, and it's going to be harder. It puts a lot of pressure. But, yeah, you need both.
Yeah, let's see. We got one more day to go. I can't wait for this to be over. So this way we can sink in and say, all right, this is what's going to happen now. We have to fight the Phillies. Yeah. We have to fight Atlanta. Like, forget about
Atlanta's
games.
Atlanta's done.
No.
It's 17 under 500, dude.
No, but it's just, I'm talking about divisional-wise. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have to, you know, we want to win those. Yeah. We want to win all those games. You know, we want to make sure. But I don't think we have what it takes, man. Not like this. These little things that we're talking about can easily be fixed. This is what bothers me.
They want to fix it. That's the problem.
Yeah, I don't understand why they're playing their hand this way. This is what we're talking about, folks. We're not talking about, you know, anything else. Like, you have the pieces. Yes, it's not working out because you're not incorporating the pieces properly. And your lineup is funny, too. You can't set it up that way because, as you can see, it's not working. It has to kind of have structure the same way Lindor was the leadoff man, no matter what the situation, because that
he's
works.
Always leadoff. Yes.
And it works for him.
So at four, or Alonso at four.
You know what I'm saying? See, you want to do it like that. I wanted to keep Soto second.
At the bottom?
No, second. Second, okay. And then Alonso third.
Your top three hitters.
You know, right there. In that bunch right there, right? And then,
I guess.
I mean, this is how I would do it. Now, the fourth slot, that's a tricky slot. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't know who to put there. Because we don't have a true DH. Now, let's say we happen to get Schwarber at the, you know, after the season ends, then obviously it's Schwarber. Exactly. That would be number four.
And Alonso.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Then you can get rid of Beatty. You can get rid of Vientos if you want, or keep him as a backup. And then, you know what I mean? And then you have a true third baseman.
And a true DH.
Yeah. And the nice thing is you need that because, look, for example, right? Kyle Schwarber, let's say he plays 3 years for the Mets, right? That's another 3 years, right? Soto still should be pretty good. He's still in his 20s. But once he starts getting in his 30s, maybe you find one more guy to play DH, and then you put Soto in as your permanent DH. And then that way, you know, you have his bat, and you don't have to worry about playing him in the outfield. That's what the Yankees are doing with Stanton. They don't have him play the field. And you know what? He's been doing great. He's good at it. So use him to your advantage. So, yeah,
that's
you
what
can
I'm
get
saying.
Schwarber because Schwarber is good, but he's a little bit older than Alonso. He's kind of getting past his prime. And he's a big bat, and he helped a lot, you know. So I like the idea, and you could I definitely could see the Mets signing him, because one, they got the money, and two, they don't mind paying him whatever that much. He's got money, and also they're gonna some money's gonna come off the books too. So now back to pitching. So now that you signed these three relievers, right?
Yep.
Another guy that that drives me crazy, and another guy I don't know why the Mets are obsessed with, Stanek. They put him in today's game too, and he you know he had a problem too. But I don't know why they keep putting him in.
He was good for us. He was really good for us, and then you know what happened? Overused. He got overused.
See, that's the dilemma, because it's like you want to play him while he's hot, and then you
no, but it's not. It's not.
You think it's gonna last forever, and it doesn't.
That wasn't the problem. You know what the problem was too? The silly problem is that our pitchers, you know how we always talk about how the pitchers aren't going, you know, deep into the games?
Five and six.
You know what I'm saying?
Seven.
Yeah, because, you know, due to analytics, you know, the pitcher gets pulled, right, like by the third go around in the lineup, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Mets couldn't pull that off. The Mets weren't even going five innings, bro. Three here, four there. Maybe five.
And that's why bullpen started to get
exactly, weak. Exactly. Exactly. Because we have no choice. It's not because the pitching has been, they haven't been able to, you know, get over the hump. Peterson's the only one that's consistent with that. He can go seven, no problem. But everybody else can't do it. And this is why the bullpen is taxed.
Well, I think if I'm the Mets, I would use Gregory Soto, just being a little biased. I'd use him as your eighth inning setup. He's been great for Baltimore. He came from Philadelphia last year. He had a great year. They got him in the trade. So I would use him as your setup. And then that way you don't have to use Brazobon anymore, because he's been god atrocious. He was good a little bit, but he's always been atrocious. And then
I don't know.
And then Stanek, because you know, that one game against the Orioles, it drove me crazy, because the first game in that doubleheader, Holmes was pitching just fine. Holmes or Peterson, one of the two. You pulled him out after one at bat. After the last inning, he got out of a bases loaded jam, something like that. And he got out of it, no problem. But then he gives up a hit, and you took him out, and the Orioles were smart, and they figured out, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? You really taking this guy out? And he put in Stanek, and lefty against lefty, and then what did Baltimore do? They put in Henderson. And then they just, it went downhill from there. But the thing is like with Stanek, okay, I would just have him as a one inning wonder. Let him pitch his three bats and move on. Anything more, he doesn't do well with multiple innings. It just doesn't. But sometimes you don't have an option because you don't want to blow through your bullpen. That's what happened to Baltimore, Toronto in this Baltimore series. Baltimore won that series because we just plowed through their starting staff and their bullpen had to be used. So you just ransacked their bullpen and it's great. You hurt him. But if you're the Mets, you can't afford that. You know, because you just got three starters back, so you gotta make sure they get back in the groove. Who knows how long that's gonna take?
That's what happened too with Manaea.
Yep, and then now you're gonna rely on your bullpen to carry while you're asking the bullpen to carry the weight while these guys get their shoes on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, for real, yeah. No, it's a perfect way to describe it, because that's what happened with Sean Manaea when he first came in. They were watching his pitches, you know what I'm saying? So they were pulling him early, all right? So, listen, exactly. You know, they were watching him. They wanted to make sure he was okay. You're having trials at the you know, during a baseball game. You can't do that. All right, listen, if you wanted to watch his pitch count, then you should – do that in the minors. Do that wherever it is that it doesn't count for us, you know, the main team. Because, you know, it obviously counts for everybody. But you can do that stuff downstairs, not up here. Because now, oh, you can only throw 40. You can only throw, you know, 70 pitches. After that, you got to go. If he's pitching, he's pitching. Because you're right. You know, now the bullpen has to take over and help him, you know. It's not right.
Yeah, and then you're just taxing the bullpen, you know.
1,000%.
You can't do that. So I don't know how they fix it. Diaz has been, he's been the one consistent guy in the bullpen. You know, he comes in for the most part. He's been back to himself that he was a couple years ago.
A little, but he's been erratic. He's been hitting a lot of guys. He's throwing super hard right now, and he's trying to figure it out. But you know what? At least they're not really producing off of him. But, you know, he's hitting guys. He's walking guys. He's doing that silly shit again. He started it the other day. But whatever. Now he has help. Let's see how this works out. Everybody has a role, like you said. One inning, get out. Next guy. So everybody stays, you know, a machine.
Let's see. Well, good thing is minus Milwaukee, you should be able to beat up on Cleveland. You should be able to beat up on Atlanta. Atlanta's done. I don't care what anybody says. They're 17 games under 500. I don't know why they just got a starter from Cincinnati. I'm like, why are you training for people? You're done. Season's over.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I just said to you earlier. I'm like, everybody's making moves now. Even the teams that are out of it, which is crazy to me because it's like, all right, guys, all this shit for what? I mean, to better yourself for next year? Because think about it. Like, all right, these guys are rentals.
It's a long time.
I know, but if you're thinking about the future, if Stearns is thinking about this properly, he's like, these guys right here is basically me doing my homework for next year. So now this way, I have these pieces. They didn't cost me much, and we can pay them right here, right now, and now I don't have to worry about the bullpen, and I can focus on other things during the offseason. So if this is what he was doing, and he really wanted these pieces, and he has a vision for them, then that's cool, you know? But we'll see about that. Now, how about you guys with the wild card situation? How's it looking for you guys?
Baltimore, and when I say you guys,
it's okay, 7.5 out.
But I'm comfortable with what they're doing. Get rid of the guys that are expiring contracts. Let them go. They're not going to trade any of their big guys. They're not going to trade Rutschman. The rumor was maybe they trade Rutschman. No, he just got back. He's not going anywhere. Sam Basilo's not ready to come up yet. That's the only way to trade him. If they knew for sure that your other prospect, Sam Basilo, is ready to go. But so your main guys, the only guy that's big that's getting traded is Ryan O'Hearn, Cedric Mullins. A lot of your bullpen guys are going to be gone. But that's okay because they got guys from AAA. Stroud and Warfram, you know, so they're gonna let's see if we can find diamonds in the rough, and that's only the good that comes out of a bad season is okay. Now you can figure out what players you might have for the future, and then that way you can determine who you need to get in the off season because Baltimore has to do a lot of work because they have way too much of a talented team to do another year after this year of rebuilding. That's not gonna fly. They're gonna get a new manager. I don't think you should get rid of the GM just because he had one bad offseason. That'd be really a little silly. Baltimore has played better since they made the change with the manager. I think the manager needs to be a little more aggressive and get what you need. They needed pitching. I was saying it from the beginning. They did nothing. Same thing with Atlanta. They needed pitching. They let pitching go. Baltimore, they needed pitching. They let pitching go. And then all the guys from last year, they either hurt or gone. Burns hurt. I mean, gone. Now he's hurt. Grayson Rodriguez, out for the year. He's going to be out next year. I think he's done. I think his career is over with Baltimore. Tyler Wells and Kyle Bradish, they're making rehab starts. So they're going to come back at probably the end of this, in the next couple months and see how they are. So now you have players that, so you might get those guys back. So that's three potential pitchers. But they're going to have to go do another Burns-type trade. But they got to sign the guy. They can't just be like, hey, let's trade and then let him go. They got to sign the guy. You know, they easily should have signed Burns. Yeah, granted, you can't tell that you didn't know he was going to get hurt. And I don't know how he's going to be next year. Who knows? Maybe he'll be lights out. You know, who knows? But they got to get a starting pitcher. Every team needs an ace. It's so weird, but it's true. Every team needs an ace. I don't care who you are. Even Toronto. Toronto has the best record right now. Who's their best pitcher? Kevin Gausman. I guess he's the ace, former Oriole. So he's been their best, same thing with the Dodgers. You know, You know, same thing with the Padres. They don't have a true ace anymore. They thought it was Dylan Cease, but he hasn't been the same.
No,
Darvish
he hasn't.
Is on the back nine. you know, Cubs, it's what's his name? Is it Jameson Taillon? I forgot. I might have got the name right. But anyway, he came from the Yankees, and he's been there, you know. And then I think it was Boyd, too, I think, was the other guy. So, you know, having an ace makes a difference because having someone that can eat up innings. That's why Baltimore knows another player they're going to trade, Zach Eflin. He's great. He eats up a lot of innings, and he's been really good. So the guys that have capability of trading that just came back, they're playing really well. Baltimore, if you look, the offense is doing well, and their starting pitching has been doing well. Dean Kramer pitched well today. Eflin has been great for us. Trevor Rogers, who we got last year, he just came back from the IL after last year, having a horrible last year. He came in the Kobe Mayo and Kyle Stowers trade in Miami. So he's been good. He's got another year of controllability. So he's going to be in the rotation next year. So there's some signs, positive signs. But the problem is they dug up too big of a hole. They're not going to make the playoffs. They could make it back to 500. They're only 9 games under. Who knows? You know, so it sucks. I waved the flag. But what I look for in a lost season is how are they playing? Are they playing hard? Are they playing tough? Are they producing? And I'm also looking at your starting rotation. What's the rotation like? Do I have potential players for next year? And if that's the case, then you're trying to solve problems for next year. And that's what happens when you're a losing team. You try to work on next year's problems. You know,
that's what people are doing right now. This is why I always look at the trade deadline like, whatever. Now, if a team that really needs a piece, like, you know, something special that's out there that a team doesn't want because they can't pay for it or whatever.
They'll make the deal.
Make the deal, you know, because being prospect rich when you're in the gutter is always a good situation, you know, because you don't know what you have in there, you know, because it doesn't necessarily mean that these players are going to develop into stars. It just gives you a better shot at being better. You know, because now you have these, you know.
And then in a case like Baltimore, they trade away Stowers. They knew he was going to be good. They knew he was going to be this good, an all-star good. But they knew he was going to be good. That was the chance they took. And, you know, at first I thought, man, Baltimore lost his trade. But so far it's been looking good. Rogers is doing pretty well. Stowers is doing well. So seems like an even deal. But if you're a team and you're trying to make it, you've got to trade your prospects. Who cares? Just, you know, that's what you gotta do. Trade him.
That's what you have to do.
You gotta live in the moment. You gotta take advantage of it because you don't know if you're gonna be back next year. Look at Baltimore. You think Baltimore thought they would be this bad this year? No.
No way.
Right? You don't know. The window could close tomorrow. You know, there's no way of telling. It's not like it's not like football where you kind of know, like, all right, the Kansas City Chiefs, they, you know, or the Patriots, they had a big window and they won in that window. In baseball, it's not like that. You know what I mean? It's players don't stay around for 12 years, you know, and it's more than one player, you know, you need. So if you're the Mets, trade whoever. If it means it's going to get your starting pitcher that you need, if it means it's going to get you a third baseman that you need, whatever, or center fielder, you know, you need Cedric Mullins, and the Orioles are asking for, I don't know who your next top prospect. I know who it is. I think his name is Wong or something. The pitcher.
They're getting rid of that. Yeah.
I know. I'm just saying, anyone below that, you know, the second tier, I'll call them second tier prospects. You know, anyone that's not in the top five. If you can give me, you know, if they want the eighth best prospect for Mullins, then give me your eighth best prospect and you take Mullins because you need Mullins, you know what I mean, more than we need that prospect, you know?
That's what's going to happen. They're going to get something out of Mullins. You know why? Because if he leaves, they're not going to get anything. So it's worth it.
Well, if he leaves, it's worth it. You know, if he leaves Baltimore, you mean it's worth it? Yeah. Or if he leaves the Mets
months? If Baltimore gets rid of him now, it's worth it because they end up getting something in return for him. Because if he leaves, they get nothing.
Get him while he's hot. Same thing with O'Hearn. That's why, like, they're going to get something for O'Hearn. And O'Hearn was just one of those forgotten guys. And he's amazing. because he was one of those forgotten guys that no one wanted. Baltimore gave him a chance. Wow. Sorry to interrupt, but Devin Williams on the Yankees just gave up a 2-run home run in the top of the ninth, and the Yankees are now losing 3-2, which is big because Toronto won today. So if they lose, the Yankees will go back to 5.5 games under behind the
five wow. and a half. But they got a serious problem, you know.
Well, rumor has it they might go after Bednar from Pittsburgh and make him the closer, make Williams your eighth inning guy. They put Williams in the eighth inning. He was seemed to be doing well, so maybe that's what you do. But that's just another team. Look at the Yankees. You think, wow, the Yankees are doing great. They're 10-plus games above 500, but they're having problems too, you know. So it's everyone has similar problems. Everyone has the same problem. Pitching. For the Yankees, now they got third baseman. I don't know how this new guy's doing, McMahon, whatever his name is. So now they got two third basemen. They can put Chisholm back at second where he belongs. And then the other problem is they got to figure out their center field. They have the same problem as the Mets. They need center field. Grisham is okay. He's a good backup. Dominguez is the Marchand. He hasn't been as what they thought he was going to be. He's inconsistent, so who knows?
That's crazy.
But anyway, we're getting near the end of the show. And so one thing we like to do is recognize the hitter and the gunslinger of the week.
That's
so
right.
This week's gunslinger of the week is, I have it right here. This week's gunslinger of the week, I have Kevin Gausman of the Toronto Blue Jays against Detroit. He pitched 6 innings, 1 hit, 0 earned runs with 10 strikeouts. Like I said, and Detroit impressive. That day was playing Spencer Torkelson, so it was a really good game. And then the hitter of the week is the home run derby with the home run MVP, the all-star MVP, Kyle Schwarber.
Yes.
In a 12-5 win, beating the Yankees last Saturday, I want to say, he went 3-for-5, 2 home runs, a walk, and 4 RBIs and 3 runs. So
I love it.
If you could get Schwarber as your DH next
year,
my gosh, man. You'll take those numbers any day.
I'll take them.
So
that's what I'm talking about. That's crazy. So now you know we're coming. We're coming around. We're getting closer to the playoffs now. This is the stretch. We're almost there. And here comes another World Series. Hopefully it's a good one. Hopefully my team is in it, but I doubt that. But hopefully it's two good teams. Hopefully it's two good teams. Maybe not this year though. This year we have problems. We can't even set it up properly. It's like you want to play pool, but you don't even know how to set up the balls, bro. You know what I'm saying? That's what it feels like to me, you know? Especially 9-ball. You're playing 9-ball, you need 9 guys, right? So guess what? You need to put those balls in the proper order, you know what I'm saying? If you don't have them in the proper order, it doesn't work. Nobody wants to play like that. This is what the Mets are doing. But we're getting close to that. So the question is, we all know who has the most championships in baseball, right? Who's that? Who has the most championships in baseball?
27 by the New York Yankees.
Oh, in your division. Boo-hoo. Yes. Okay, so now let's see if we know who has the second most championships.
It's not the
you
not
see?
The Red Sox.
The stump is coming.
Either.
The stump is coming.
Part of me wants to say either St. Louis or L.A. Dodgers. No. Dodgers, San Francisco. No. I'm going to go with San Francisco. They've won a lot recently in the early 2000s.
Okay.
I'm going to go with San Francisco. That doesn't sound right.
You're wrong, sucker. You had it right the first time when you said St. Louis. It was St. Louis.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And you know how many you have? They have a lot. They have a lot.
I know they have more than 15. That I know.
No. It's less than that.
They have less than 15?
Yeah, but they still have a lot, though.
10?
11.
Oh, wow, okay.
That's a lot. That's a lot,
that's
man.
Crazy. What a drop of that. It's from 27 to 11?
I know. That's how hard it is, but that's 11 is a lot.
Difference. 16 championships difference.
Yeah. But listen, there's teams that have just two, like the Mets, 69 and 86. So that's nothing.
I think the Orioles have 3. something like that. So
I'm not sure.
It's hard. And then there's teams that have never had nothing.
Exactly.
So, you know, teams.
So that's how it is.
Yeah. Is there a team? Let me see. Is there a team in baseball that has never won?
There's a couple of teams, I think.
Shit, really?
Yeah.
Kansas City won. Let's go through it. Houston won. Oh, Anaheim? Maybe Anaheim. Maybe. I don't think they have one. So that's one team. Texas finally won. San Diego. I don't think they've ever won. Right? Yeah, I don't think San Diego's ever won. Are you looking it up?
Yeah, I'm trying.
So, five MLB teams have never won a World Series. The Colorado Rockies, the Milwaukee Brewers, I was right about the Padres, and the Seattle Mariners, and Tampa Bay Rays, while the Mariners are the only team to have never reached the World Series, the others have all had appeared in the Fall Classic. That's right. Colorado did make it with Matt Holliday back in, you know, wow, okay. Even Florida made it, yeah. Milwaukee, wow, okay. But, wow, that's crazy. The Seattle Mariners have... That's a team, man. That's another disappointing team, man. They have a really good offensive team. They got good pitching, Logan Gilbert, and so on and so on. And Kyle Raleigh, Rodriguez, and what's his name? Crawford, J.P. Crawford. Is Ty France still with them? I forgot if he's still with them. I don't know. But anyways, that's another disappointing team. But anyway, that's crazy. So St. Louis, New York Yankees and the St. Louis. Now, that was before they were the Cardinals. They were the St. Louis Browns, too, I think, right?
I'm not sure on that information, but it was probably, you know, just this side before they changed the names. I'm not sure how it works. Yeah.
Anyway, that just tells you how great the Yankees were. And I don't know if we'll ever see a dynasty like that in sports. Do you think you ever see that again in sports?
Nah, it's impossible.
Too much parody?
No, it's too much. It's too much for that to happen. They would have to win 27 right back to back right now. You know, see, for us to see it again, you know? Because that number's crazy. Nobody's going to catch up to that. And the teams now, you know, they're built differently. So...
Man, it makes me feel good to see the Mets are struggling. The Yankees are struggling greatly, man.
Listen, if they don't make the playoffs, and that'll be my Christmas. That'll be my Christmas.
Press it
right there.
They're going to be a wild-card team.
The Yankees, I doubt that, too.
You don't think they'll be a wild-card team?
No. You know why?
Toronto's good, man.
You know, Toronto's good, but you know what? So is Boston. You know,
and Tampa Bay.
And Toronto as well. So... They will trump over the Yankees. I think Boston
could leap, and now they got Duran as their closer.
Yeah, trust me. Of course they can. And that's why I say the Yankees won't make the wild card, because any one of those teams, all of them are playing better than the Yankees right now. So, no. But this is the end of the show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Last show, you were great.
Wow, hold up before you go.
Oh,
my goodness. Anthony Volpe just hit a tie to home run, so it's not 3-3. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man, you enjoy the rest of that. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that.
And he's been terrible. God darn it. Oh, well, they'll blow it.
Have a good one, brother. Damn, I hope so.
See you, man.
Peace, bro.